ಓಮಜ್ಞಾನ ತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಟು ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೀಕ್ಲಿ ಇವೆಂಟ್ ಅಟ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ್ ಟೆಂಪಲ್, the Sunday Love Feast. This week is sandwiched between two very important weeks. We just celebrated the most wonderful event of Krishna Janmashtami. That was last Monday. And the coming Monday we are going to celebrate Sri Radhashtami. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki. So this is the week which is sandwiched between these two very special weeks. Even in Vrindavan there's a very special place, it's called the Sanket Van, which is exactly in between Barsan and Nandagram, where Krishna is from Nandagram and Radharani stays in Barsana, and that is a very very special meeting place of Shri Shri Radha Krishna, and even Gopal Bhatta Goswami established his Bhajan Kutir there. So similarly, from the week perspective, this is also a week like Sanket in between Radha and Krishna. So next week we are going to discuss about the glories of Srimati Radharani, the internal potency of the Lord. So we thought that today we will discuss about the external energy of the Lord, which we all of us know very well. Maya. We know that Krishna has two potencies, Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Yogamaya, both the potencies, they cover the duty of both the potencies to cover up, but the Yogamaya covers up the devotees so that they don't understand that the person that is in front of them is Krishna, is a god. And the other energy, the Mahamaya, covers everybody else so that they can enjoy separate from God. So I was few years back, we were discussing with His Holiness Indradyumna Swami Maharaj about the qualities of Maya. When we say Maya, means Mahamaya, external energy. And he narrated a very wonderful incident. He said that I was traveling in Sri Lanka. It was at the time of tsunami. Indradyumna Maharaj, as we all know, he travels profusely all over the world. And really delivers. And he has a very adventurous way of doing things. It goes to places which are very adventurous by nature. So he went to Sri Lanka. This was after the tsunami had hit India and Sri Lanka, and there was vast loss of life. Everything was in disarray. So he went to Sri Lanka to really give them food, shelter and clothing, and along with that give them Krishna consciousness. So he was traveling from Ceylon, a place in Sri Lanka, to Trimakattapalli. He was just, so it is Ceylon, he was saying, and he was going to Trimakattapalli, and he was at 10 o'clock in the night, pitch dark, passing through a very unknown place. And then, at that time, he had to answer the call of nature. This is one call which we can't refuse, right? There are two calls, the calls of Krishna and calls of nature. You have to answer, you know. We have to succumb to it. So he said, I have to go. So they stopped the car right in the middle of nowhere, very dark, and he went into the nearby small forest, and he did his job, and he told devotees, please don't show any flashlights because I'm doing my job. And after I shout, after I finish my job, they can show flashlights, I can come back. So then after he finished, he shouted, I said, put on the light. And they showed some flashlight. And the devotee put on a flashlight. And as soon as he put on the flashlight, he shouted loudly, Maharaj, stop! He said, Maharaj, what happened? He said, don't move an inch. Maharaj said, but what happened? Please tell me. I said, just see there. There's a sign, there's a board with a skull and a cross. Danger. Minefields ahead. Minefield means when somebody plants bombs in the ground so that the enemy does not capture that land. That's called a minefield. They just plant it, right? And then after that land is captured, they put this cross because we don't know where the minefield is. If you are walking, it just explodes. Maharaj said that he saw many people in Sri Lanka with no legs, no hands, and everything because they were walking and suddenly the minefield explodes. And Maharaj was right in a minefield. Can you imagine the situation? It was even a step. He didn't know where it is. You know, next step would be a bomb. It would just explode. So Maharaj was really, really praying to Krishna. And he said, I was remembering this mantra. He said, I was remembering two mantras. One is, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the second mantra he was remembering is, Rake Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. As a Krishna, if you want to protect me, nobody can kill me. So he was saying, Krishna, please protect me. But he said, he didn't know what to do. So he had 76 steps to walk before he came out of the minefield. And he took every step with utmost, you can't be cautious, you know, you don't know. How can you be cautious situation? It was just one step and he was taking one by one, hoping that he doesn't step on a minefield. And then when he came out, they were discussing. I said, only if we had a map. What happens is when people, the party which pulls the minefield, they have a map also. In a map, they write that this is the minefield is here and here and here. In case the land comes back to them, then they can easily know where the bombs are. So they can remove the bombs and everything is fine. He said, if we have a map, then we exactly know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These places are there. And that's all. We have nothing to worry. But because Maharaj had no map, every step was a big danger. Padam, padam, yadvi padam, natesham. This is exactly Maharaj explaining. I experienced it that every step literally was a danger. Because he could be stamping on a bomb and just one stamp and is blown off. Right? He realized that. So he was explaining that similarly our life is danger at every step. Maya, or the illusory energy of the Lord, has planted situations around us where we can potentially fall down from this wonderful path of devotional service. The moment we step our foot out of the temple, we are walking on a minefield, is it not? Every step, every glance, everyone we meet can potentially make us fall down from the path of devotional service. But he said, what is this map? He said, if you have a map, you don't have to worry. And this map is Srimad Bhagavatam. The holy scriptures. They exactly tell us where is the danger, what you should be cautious about, how you should walk in your spiritual life, what you should do and what you should not do. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. So as devotees of the Lord, we are all trying to become close to Krishna. Krishna bhair mukha jiva bhogavancha kare nikatiya mayastane jhapatiya dhare. That when a jiva soul becomes bhair muk to Krishna, when he looks on the other side of Krishna, he desires bhogavancha, he desires to enjoy separate from the Lord. And then maya captures him. So Maya has basically two potencies. One is called the this is a challenge for me. I never been able to pronounce it properly. Prashekpatmika. Adikesha Prabhu. I practiced it for 100 times before I came here, but still I cannot say it. Prashek Patmika. Okay, that means Prash. You said it? People who speak good Hindi. So I hope you all heard him. Prashek Patmika. Okay, so that means Aksha means to throw. The potency of Maya which throws you down, and other is Avaranatmika. Avaran means which covers you. The two potencies of Maya. First, what she does? She throws us. And then she covers us. Indradyumna Maharaj was explaining, we were discussing. I said, Avaranatmika also means to kick. Now, you know, many of us in Bombay, we are used to seeing fights. Right? It is all everywhere. Right? What happens when two people, they come together, they punch each other, fight each other, and one person throws each other down, one person. And then he starts kicking him. I've done the other way. I've kicked somebody in my school days. It's very sad. To this day, I feel bad about it. Fighting and kicking him. So that's what Maya does. It pulls you down, and when you are completely helpless, you are fallen, and she kicks you on your face. Or she covers you completely. So we are all originally, what is that? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shadya Kabunoy Shravanadi Suddhya Chitte Karore Udoy. That eternal pure love of God is there in everyone's heart. Everyone. We are all lovers of God, lovers of Krishna. But because of desire to enjoy separate from God, Maya throws us down from the spiritual world to Bombay. We fall down in Bombay in one of the maternity homes. Right? And then once we fall down, we suffer in the womb of the mother, praying to Krishna, that Krishna, I'll become your devotee. So much suffering in the womb of the mother. But when we come out, bhalo lage samsar. Bhakti Thakur says that I prayed, but when I come out, I see everything, everybody laughing, and on my birth, there is a lot of gifts been distributed, everybody's happy. So I forget all my suffering. And I start feeling that this world is a nice place. Right? That beautiful song of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bulia Samsare. Beautiful song. Where he says that the jiva soul prays in the womb of the to the Lord. That this is suffering. This is too much suffering. When I come out, I promise you I become your devotee. But moment he comes out, Avaranatmika Shakti of the Maya captures him. Covers him completely. And you don't know what is right, what is wrong. You are completely covered. You are not really sure where you are, what you are. And then you say, well, this is a nice place. Everything is very wonderful. It's a nice place to live, actually. No problem. Right? So this is what happens. The jiva soul, after being cast in the material world, it tries to enjoy separate from the Lord. And Tamakrishna Goswami, I was just hearing his class the other day, he puts it, this is his famous classes in Fiji Islands, God, Demigod, Incarnations, the powerful classes of Tamakrishna Goswami Maharaj. Everyone, I recommend, should hear these classes to really make his foundation strong. He powerful punching classes. And he says that the jiva soul becomes a competitor with the Lord. He tries to compete with the Lord. Very nice term he used. That Krishna is a supreme enjoyer, but we all try to compete with the Lord. Everyone thinks that we are small gods. And some people who are really in illusion, really big time competitors, they think that they are actually gods. We have one god staying in Dadar. We used to have one god staying in Pune. I was talking to I was in London. And it was one, I was preaching to one person who came to the Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he said that, you Indians, you are not tired of having gods. You already have 33 million gods. And still you want to have more gods. Every newspaper I read in India, there's one god in South India, there's one god in Pune, one god in Bombay. Everywhere gods. You Indians like to have many gods. Right? So there are so many gods, so-called gods, who call themselves gods. And because there are some people supporting them, they start believing that they are gods. And this situation, this phenomenon is not something only foreign. It's not something which is happening right now. People calling themselves God is something which has always been there. Even in the time of Lord Sri Krishna. Even when Krishna was personally present, showing his opulences to the world. Not just Balalila. Once he has grown up and became Dwarkadish, the emperor of Dwarka. He was sitting with his ministers one day, with Ugrasen, and everybody was sitting. He gets the messenger. He said, there's a messenger who has come to meet you. Krishna said, please, get him in. And the messenger had a message. He was a messenger of one king named Pondrak. He was a king of Kushinaka, which is close to Kashi. And there was a message. And the messenger said, this is a message from Pondrak, our king. Please listen very carefully. Krishna said, please, we are all here to listen. Please tell us. He said, Pondrak is saying, I am one and only Lord Vasudev. And there is no other. Akale Ishwara Krishna are Sakala Bhritya. That's what he was saying. That I am the only Krishna, everything else is false. It is I who have descended to this world to show mercy to the living beings. Therefore, give up your false name. Pondrak is telling through a messenger this to Krishna. He goes on to say, give up your personal symbols, which out of foolishness you are now carry, and come to me for shelter. If you do not, then you must give me a battle. This is what he says. And a very wonderful point is mentioned by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, our Acharya. These Acharyas are so empowered that they actually are knowing the heart of Krishna. So when they write a particular commentary, it's not that they're writing from their some speculative knowledge, but they're actually part of the Leela of the Lord, and they're writing what they are seeing and what they are feeling. So how does Krishna hear this message? Krishna, he said, he is all positive. He's all good. So he sees something good in this message also. By the power of Saraswati, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that this messenger spoke a message which in Sanskrit also meant something which I'm about to read. The first line it meant, first he says, what he says, I read out, I am one and only Lord Vasudev and there is nobody else. It is I who descended to this world to show mercy to the living beings, therefore give up your false name. That is what the message was actually. But what did it also mean? He said, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, he said, I am not Vasudev incarnate, but rather you alone and no one else are Vasudev. Since you have descended to show mercy to living beings, please make me give up my false designation, which is like that of an oyster claiming to be silver. If you see Sanskrit, none of us are Sanskrit pandits, nor am I. But if you read Sanskrit, this verse also meant where Pondrak is actually telling that I am not Vasudev, you are the actual Vasudev, and I am actually a false person. Please come and expose me. And the second verse also says, out of foolishness, I have assumed an imitation conch shell, disc, lotus and club. And you are maintaining this by allowing me to use them. You have not yet subdued me and gotten rid of these imitation symbols. Therefore, please mercifully come and liberate me by forcing me to give them up. Give me a battle and grant me the liberation by killing me. So this is what actually it meant. But when Krishna and all the men's people, they heard this, what do you think they did first? They laughed. They had a real hearty laugh. I said, what? There's somebody who can be so crazy that he calls himself Krishna right in front of Krishna, and he says that I am the deliverer and you fall down to my feet and I will deliver you. Everybody had a hearty laugh. I was thinking that it is said that our scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, consists of all aspects of good reading. There is suspense. There is horror. There is love stories. And there's also cartoon films. There's also jokes. There's some funny characters. And Pondrak was one of the funny characters. As you see further, you will understand that how he actually helped to make Krishna laugh. Krishna profusely laughed. And he couldn't stop laughing, Bhagavatam explains. Then he sent a message. I said, go and tell your king that I'm ready to fight a battle with him. And he should give up his false designation of being Vasudev. So, Krishna went. And Pondrak, actually he was very, very expert to dress up. So he dressed like perfect Vasudev. He had four hands. He had stuck two hands somehow or the other nicely. Maybe there was some plastic surgeon that time. He stuck two hands perfectly and he was artificially carrying the four insignias of Vishnu. He was carrying it nicely. He also had a fake Kaustubha mani. He also had made his hair golden at one point, which was part of, as symbol of Vishnu. And everything was there. And when Krishna saw him face to face, can you imagine what he must have felt? Just imagine, if I think in the world, I've seen many times people who are crazy, they start thinking of what they are not and what they would want to be. I knew of a friend in my school, a nice person, until 8th standard we were together. Then he went to some other school, and then I met him after long. He completely changed. And at that time, he was convinced, he went a little mentally off. He was convinced that he was Kamal Hassan. You know of this person, Kamal Hassan? He was one actor. That time he was one of the good actors, maybe. How can he be a good actor? He was a useless actor, but he was an actor. So this person, his hairstyle, his way of talking, his way of wearing his clothes, and this guy, Kamal Hassan, is used to do all these things, right? He takes a gun and throws it up and does all these things. That's what something like that. So he would also, he met me, hi Snehal, how are you? And then he did something on his hand. I said, what are you doing? I said, well, this is, I am Kamal Hassan. And of course, then I had to ask him, who is he? So he was actually convinced, he was mentally off, quite off, that he was convinced what he was not and what he would want to be. Many times people, they try to imitate the people whom they respect they idolize. So you see many people having hairstyles of actors, and the moment they enter a lift, they because they just want to do like that, talk like that, and be like that. So Pondrak, luckily, he was 24 hours conscious of Krishna. He wanted to be like Krishna, talk like Krishna, walk like Krishna, look like Krishna. And when Krishna himself saw him, Krishna was laughing. He said, my God, you are amazing. And can you imagine if the original sees the artificial, what will he feel? If the original Amitabh Bachchan sees some artificial Amitabh Bachchan looking exactly like him, he said, boss, tu achha dikhta yaar, you're looking smart. He said, you mean I look so good? So something like that. Krishna, on the battlefield, it was serious business. This man and his friend, the king of Kashi, had got two Akshoini divisions of armies to fight. And Krishna was all alone. And he saw this, and in spite of, even though it's a big battle, Krishna had a hearty laugh, first of all. He was just laughing and laughing and laughing. And then Pondrak started speaking, what are you? You are an imitation person and everything. Krishna said, don't worry. He said, you have told me to surrender at your feet. You will surrender and do something else. And then as is explained, Krishna, I've seen this is a typical of Krishna's pastimes, that there's a lot of things that happen before the demon is killed, but Krishna kills a demon in a short time. You have seen that? Like when there's a demon who comes, a lot of pastimes happen, Krishna rolls him up and everything, but the actual killing of demon is a very short thing. You have seen that in Krishna's pastimes? that, you know, there is, you know, when, suppose we talked about Keshi, demon. Krishna killed Keshi in no time, but before that, the description is very elaborate. The way Krishna went and, you know, the coward people, the boys were scared and everything. So Krishna was laughing, talking to him, and then Krishna finally took his Sudarshan Chakra, the original one. And of course, Pondra didn't have the original one. He had, but it was not flying. So Krishna said that I have to kill you with the chakra which you are so proud of having it yourself, which is the imitation one. So Krishna took the chakra, and the chakra just went shik, and cut off the head of Pondra. And in no time, this fake god was dead. But surprisingly, amazingly, Krishna's mercy, this person got Sarupya Mukti. He went to Vaikuntha and he got Sarupya. He got the same form as the Lord. Just imagine Krishna's supreme mercy. Because there was 24-hour consciousness of Krishna and he wanted to have the same form of the Lord, Krishna fulfilled it. And he gone to the Vaikuntha, has got Sarupya Mukti. Demons usually get Sahujya Mukti. They merge into the existence of the Lord. But Pondrak got Sarupya, the same form of the Lord. And then the king of Kashi, who was his very close friend, he said, oh, how did you kill my friend so brutally? Now you have to fight with me. And the king of Kashi, before he came to fight a battle with Krishna, he was in Kashi, you know, in his kingdom, and he called all his people. He said, today I'm going to do a great feat. I'm going to fight Krishna. I'm going to get his head in our kingdom. And all his wives were also supporting him. He said, very good, very good. And then he came. And everybody, all the people in Kashi were waiting. When will the head of Krishna fall in the kingdom? So Krishna, he saw the king of Kashi. He took one arrow and shot. And the head went, the head got cut and fell right in the kingdom of Kashi. And the people thought, oh, Krishna's head. And they turned and it was their king. So Krishna killed them all. So this is what is our position. We are laughing. But in one way or the other, we are all having the Pondraka-like facade. We might not be carrying the symbols of the Lord, or we might not be claiming ourselves to be Krishna. But any person not serving Krishna, not accepting Krishna's supremacy, is nothing but claiming himself to be God, for sure. Whether he openly proclaims it, or whether he knows it about it or not, but he is actually saying that I am God. Right? So the only solution to this maya, this competitive mentality, is Srimad Bhagavatam, as Indra Maharaj was explaining to us, that this is the map where it helps devotees and everybody to understand what is the real purpose of life. I was reading a very, very, I came across a beautiful verse which is written by Sanatan Goswami, our Sambandha Acharya, about Srimad Bhagavatam. In his book, the Sri Krishna Lila Stava. This is a book which is written which glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam. And I would request the audience to kindly hear it. These are very, very amazing select verses, words used by Sanatana Goswami to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is his feeling for Srimad Bhagavatam? All of you are ready? Very sweet verses. I'm sure you'll enjoy. Satisfaction guaranteed, 100%. You'll be satisfied hearing this. He's saying, O nectar of the ocean of all scriptures. The nectar of the ocean. There are so many scriptures. But Bhagavatam is the condensed nectar of all the scriptures. Singular fruit of all the Vedas. Rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truth. Beautiful verse. Rich mine. You know mines, right? Rich. And it is a rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truth. There's a lot of truth, but conclusive truth, those gems, is Srimad Bhagavatam. You are the only giver of sight to the all worlds. That means all of us are blind. Right? We all are blind in illusion. We have the cataract. And we say, Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Jenatasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. We say this so often. But do we really understand the meaning of it? By this we are claiming, we are proclaiming ourselves to be blind by cataract of illusion, by cataract of ignorance. And the spiritual master takes the surgical instrument to remove this cataract. And what does the spiritual master use as a surgical instrument? It is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatir uttama slokte bhakti bhavati naishtaki. That is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he said, you are the only giver. See, Siddhanta Goswami is not saying you are one of the givers. You are the only giver of sight in the whole world. O life air of the Lord's devotees. Beautiful. You are the very life air of the Lord's devotees. O Master Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. In this horrible Kali Yuga, there's only once, when there's darkness, right? When there's darkness, it is not a very comfortable place to live or in a dark room, right? But even you get a small light, becomes comfortable, right? When there's no lights, we become miserable, right? All of us, I remember when lights go off, when laptops are not working, when internet is down, we all feel miserable, isn't it? We can't just function. I remember, you know, when a few months back there was no lights, and you know, all of us are so much used to lights and, you know, electricity with laptops and all the technology that we use. We practically can't do anything. When lights go off, you can't do anything. That's how we are dependent on light. What talk of when there's no light in darkness? You can't even see properly. And Bhagavatam is saying that in this dark age of Kali, there is the sun. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. I bow down to you who is supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. Now when will this day come for all of us? Where every syllable of Bhagavatam will flow down a flood of prema. Right. All of us are getting, you know, half an hour of Bhagavatam enough. More than that is too much. Where is the flood? It's not even a trickle anymore. It's too much, right? But Sanatana Goswami is saying every syllable gives flood of prema. And it is not something that he spoke, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually exhibited. When he was hearing Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit, he would say, repeat it again and again, because he was experiencing the flood of prema in every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam. You can always be served by everyone. This is wonderful. The deities, you know, 90% of people can't serve the deities because you need Brahman initiation and so many rules and regulations for serving the deities. But Bhagavatam, everyone can serve by opening the pages of Bhagavatam and reading it. So you are accessible to everyone, Sanatana Goswami is saying. You are Sri Krishna himself. Oh, my only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy. Sanatana Goswami doesn't find enough adjectives to glorify Bhagavatam. I bow down to you, O bestower of saintliness, to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen. Please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Beautiful verses describing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? This is what Bhagavatam is all about, that it is all pure. So today, we are going to be taking up one of the small portions of Srimad Bhagavatam. But as we all know, it is by Shravan, by hearing Shravanam of Bhagavad Katha, that will purify our hearts. And this is a very interesting story, a very unique story of Bhagavatam, and something very wonderful we will learn from this story. So this is a story about the churning of the milk ocean. It appears in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please hear with attention, because as explained by Sanatana Goswami, every syllable is going to give us a flood of prema. If not a flood, at least one drop if we get, hopefully, that's enough for us. Right? So let us hear this wonderful pastime that happened in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, where Parikshit Maharaj, who might be on the 4th or 5th day of his 7 days that he had to live, is asking, he's very inquisitive even after beyond the 5th day of his fasting of no food, no water, nothing. Not he has not even got up from his sitting place. And he's saying that, dear Sukhdev Goswami, please tell me about this churning of the milk ocean. It seems to be a wonderful thing. How does this churning of the ocean happen? I'm not able to understand. Please tell me something more. Right? Many times when somebody speaks and we are bored, we don't even really ask a question. Hoga re, hoga. Right? Some things you don't understand. And you say, but maybe hoga yaar, theek hai, puchega to aur bhi batayega wo. Better not ask. It is, you know, I have faith. But Parikshit Maharaj was not like that. He didn't say, are you churning of the ocean? Maybe possible. You can churn dahi, so you can churn ocean also. But he didn't say that. So he said, churning of the ocean? How is it possible? Of the ocean, it is not a joke. What do you do? What happened? Please tell me more. Very inquisitive. And Sukhdev Goswami says, it is explained by Sukhdev Goswami, that Sukhdev Goswami congratulated Parikshit Maharaj. He said, very nice. Your inquiries are very wonderful. And it's making me more and more enthusiastic to speak. So keep on asking these questions. Very nice. And that's what is Srimad Bhagavatam all about. Enthusiasm to hear. Enthusiasm to speak. So let us at least have some enthusiasm to hear. I don't have enthusiasm to speak. But at least you all are a wonderful audience. So hopefully we can hear this wonderful narration. So what had happened is, Prabhupada, you hear lectures and you hear the purports. Prabhupada says many, many times that there's always one thing in common. There's always demons and there's always demigods. There's always two parties. Satya and Asatya. There's always two parties. There's never been a time where these two didn't exist. If there's light, there has to be darkness. Duality is always there. At this point of time in history that we are in right now, the demons have become very powerful under the powerful rule of Maharaj Bali, the great grandson of Prahlad, the son of Virochan. The demons are very powerful, being blessed by their guru Shukracharya, and the demigods have lost everything. They have no power, they have no control, they have nothing. So they go to the Lord with Lord Brahma. It's a long story. They first go to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma hears them and said, I can't do anything. Let's go to Lord Krishna. They go to Vishnu. And Lord Brahma, there's a VoIP connection. Voice. there's a connection, internet connection between Lord Brahma. It's not that, you know, they speak. It is heart to heart. He just goes into Samadhi and then he talks to the Lord. And the Lord came in front, Shakshat. Lord Vishnu came in front of all the demigods. And they were first blinded by the Lord's amazing, dazzling shine. They couldn't even see him. And then when the eyes got habituated, just like when you see the sun, you can't see the sun for some time and then you get habituated. And then after some time you can see the sun. Similarly, they saw the Lord and they couldn't see him. After some time they saw the Lord's beautiful form. And then they prayed to the Lord. The Lord, we are helpless. We have nothing to rule. We have no powers. What do we do? The Lord said, as long as you are not flourishing, you should make a truce with the demons and asuras who are now being favored by time. This is wonderful. This is a wonderful line. Everything is nothing but managed by the time factor. Sometimes the time is with you. Sometimes the time factor is supporting the demons. So if the time factor as of now is supporting the demons, so you should have truce with them. And here the Lord speaks the most powerful diplomatic message, which are very useful to all of us. The Lord said, fulfilling one's own interest is so important. I repeat, fulfilling one's interest is so important that one may even make a truce with one's enemy. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to logic of the snake and the mouse. This is the Lord speaking himself, that it is so important to safeguard our own interest, provided our interest is in line with the Lord's interest. Not otherwise. The demigods, their interest was that they can rule the kingdom so that they can make it God conscious. So as long as our interest is to make people God conscious, if for that sake of our self-interest, if to safeguard our self-interest, if we have to make truce with even our enemies, it is fine. And then he said, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. Prabhupada explains in the purport that once the snake and the mouse both were caught in the net. And now naturally, the snake and the mouse are together and the natural food of the snake is the mouse. Right? So he says, it was very easy for the snake to just catch the mouse and eat it up. But the snake was intelligent. So if I eat the mouse now, I'll remain in the net. So he made a truce with the mouse. That we both are friends. Shake hands. I'll not eat you. We both are in a mess right now. Right? So why don't you cut off the net and then we both will be free. And I promise I'll not eat you. And the snake is thinking in the mind, the moment the net is cut, the mouse is mine. And the mouse cuts the net and snake is off, the mouse is off, and the moment both are out, the snake eats the mouse. This political diplomacy was taught by the Lord to demigods. I said, both of you, the demons and demigods, you both want to be immortal. You both want the nectar. Right? So have a truce with the demons. They also want, you also want. And there's no harm if you want to have a truce, but your self-interest is guarded. So they went. And he said, my dear demigods, this is another very important thing. Please, all managers, I think everybody is a manager because we are managing something. There's a nice lesson for the managers. Krishna says Vishnu says the next line, my dear demigods, with patience and peace, everything can be done. But if one is agitated by anger, the goal is not achieved. I repeat, with patience and peace, everything can be done very nicely. But if one is agitated by anger, the goal is not achieved. Therefore, whatever demons ask, agree to their proposal. The Lord is training the demigods. What a wonderful training is demigod getting. That this is first, you should have a truce. And whatever they ask, give them. Don't get agitated. Don't become angry. Because if you become angry, you will not achieve anything. Many of us, we want to achieve so many things in our offices, in our homes. And the immediate thing, when things don't happen, what happens? Anger. Right? And in anger, we don't see anything happening good. But with peace and patience, we can achieve. So the demons and demigods, they go. And they go to meet Bali Maharaj. And moment the demons see the demigods coming, they're all up with weapons. And they're about to attack the demigods. But Bali Maharaj is intelligent. He said, no, but they have not come in the attacking mood. Keep down your weapons. Let's talk to them. So the Lord Indra and Bali Maharaj discuss. See, we both want the nectar, right? You want it? I want it. Yes. We want the nectar. And then, let's work together. There is no better thing than working together, isn't it? Bali Maharaj said, yes, very true. So let's work together. And they agree upon working together to churn the ocean of milk to get nectar, to become immortal. They both agree that we should work together. And they agree that who will be the churning rope? Vasuki. And now in this Leela, why we are actually discussing this Leela, you will see everywhere the actual doer is the Lord. He simply makes the demigods and demons thus as externally appearing to do something. Just like, for example, like I play with my daughter, and I think many of our, we play with small children, and the small children, they can't lift up a heavy thing. And then we lift it up, and they just touch it, and they think they are lifting it, and we are happy to say, oh, actually you are lifting, very nice. We feel happy that children are happy, but they think they are lifting, but they are not. Similarly, Krishna is doing everything, but he finds great pleasure in allowing people to think that they are doing. And you will see in this beautiful story that is going to be unfolding in front of us right now, that how Krishna is actually doing everything. So what happens? There's the Mandara mountain which is used as a churning rod. The demons and demigods agree that let's get the mountain to the ocean of milk. You need to get it there, right? So this mountain is not like an ordinary mountain. This mountain is the mountain which is filled with gold. It is heavy with gold. Very heavy mountain. And you know, both the demons and demigods, both are working together. They lift the mountain. Dam laga ke, hayyo, something like that. Something. You see in your right? And they're lifting and lifting and lifting it. And it is so heavy. For many of us, you know, when we lift heavy things, you know, sometimes the hand doesn't just have any strength, right? And we want to just throw it down, right? Right. Sometimes when I remember carrying heavy bags of somebody, and you were carrying it after enthusiasm, and then, you know, and after 2 minutes, we realized, "Arey, bahut bhari hai to yaar." And then, and you put it down, and then again lift it, put it down, put it down. So demons and demigods, they have the enthusiasm to start, they lifted the mountain because they were enthusiastic, they lifted it, and then they realized it's too heavy. They're gasping, their skin was torn, their faces were torn, everything was bloody. And they put it down. And they say, yaar, ye to chalu bhi nahi kiya hum log ne. We are not even started. We are already exhausted right now. What to do? They were despondent. They're despondent. And what happens when you're despondent? Krishna is always there. So Krishna came flying. Please, what I would like you to know is, please note down every time Krishna is appearing. You will find many different appearances of Krishna's. Wonderful. And please, we might have a quiz afterwards. Please remember. First appearance of Krishna. Krishna appears on his Garuda carrier. And Krishna lifts the Mandara mountain easily. What can Krishna not do? Vishnu, what can he not do? He lifted the Mandara mountain, put it on the back of Garuda. He sat on the back and Garuda flew. And he came right at the site of the ocean of milk. And he said, Garuda, please put down the mountain. They put it down. And Vishnu told him, now Garuda, you please go. Can anyone answer me why? Yes? Yes. Very good. People are awake. They're very happy to know that. Right? So why did he told? Because Vishnu is so, he said, Garuda, you are, usually Garuda is always there. Like if some big man goes, the car is always parked there, right? But sometimes the man has to do something private, he tells driver, you go away. You go, I'll come on my own now. So Krishna, he knew that if Garuda is there, he'll be attracted to Vasuki because naturally Garuda likes snakes and Vasuki is about to make his entry and the things will not happen. So he said, Garuda, thank you very much. Please proceed. So the mountain is there. And the demigods and demons are very happy. And then, they call Vasuki. And Vasuki comes perfectly, goes around the whole mountain. Try to understand, you know, what you're talking about is of a huge size. And I'm just trying to show you like this. But can you imagine what you're talking about? The size of the Mandara mountain, the size of the ocean. And as you go further, there's some most mind-boggling sizes that you want to talk about. So the Vasuki came and went round, and that's better. Went round the mountain. And then the demons and demigods, they started, you know, the demons, which was headed by one of the partial incarnations of the Lord named Ajita, he took the face of Vasuki and all the other demigods, and all the other demigods followed behind Ajita, and they took the front portion of the snake, and the demons, they took the rare portion. And then Bhagavatam talks about a very important nature of demons. Demons always want what the demigods have. For example, this is very childish actually, but if you want some childish person or a child to select something that you want to select a red frog instead of a blue frog, then you say that, well, I like the red frog, and the child is saying blue, so you like the red, then I also want red. The child selects because he wants what you want. Did you get me? So similarly, Ajita was very intelligent.
he said, let me take the face of the snake and we'll understand why in the next 10 minutes. So the demigods took the face and the demons took the tail. And then one demon said, hey, apne ko tail mila. Kuch lafda. Something is wrong. And the message passed on to Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, something is wrong. We want the head. We want the front part. The you know, rare part is not very good. You know, rare part of everybody is not good, right? All the dirty things happen to the rare part. But front part is very good. We want the front part. So Bali Maharaj said, wait. You know, when the sports start, before that, you know, wait. I said, cheating. We want to change sides. And the demigods were told by the Lord, don't get angry. Give whatever the demons want. Right? The demigods otherwise would have fought. They would have fight there only. This is hypocrisy. This world is, of, you know, this fight at every small things. The demons said, we want the front part. They said, fine. So the demigods went to the rear part. The demons came to the front part. And then, you know, after so much of management, after all the party changing and everything, they started actually the churning. And you can imagine when you are waiting for something which we want to do since long and all the preparations are done, then you start doing it very fast, right? And everything is done and then you start doing very fast. Yeah? They really, with tremendous enthusiasm, the demigods and demons started churning very, very fast. And what happened? The mountain started sinking. The mountain is so heavy, they were churning and the mountain sinks. And there was no churning happening. And they said, oh my God. They both sat down, the demons and demigods. What to do now? Without the mountain, without the churning rod, what will we do? It is all sunk down and we couldn't even lift it. How to get it up from the waters? When there is despondency. Second, please note. First was? Yes. Second appears. And second, the Lord came crawling in the form of Kurma Bhagwan ki. Keshava Drita Kurma Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare. Jayadeva Goswami rise. He appeared in the form of Kurma Bhagwan. And do you know what is the size of Kurma Dev? Just the, you know, the round part, what is it called? The back part. It was 800,000 miles. Prabhuji, what is the, can we compare it to any distance? 800,000, that is 8 lakhs miles. 8 lakh miles was just the back portion of Kurma. He came crawling. He went below the ocean. Can you imagine the Lord as a tortoise? We went to Kurma Kshetra. Many of us went to a yatra. How many of you came? And many of us came, right? We went to yatra and we saw so many tortoises there. And they are really cute. You know, we just touch them, they just go inside. They're very shy animals. Otherwise, they walk very nicely. Kachua chap. You know, you are. So, you know, very nice. So, Kurma Bhagwan, Krishna, when he takes the form of Kurma, beautiful. And, you know, we all know the beautiful deity of Kurma Dev, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and worshipped in Kurma Kshetra. The first place that he went in South India that he worshipped. So, you know, Kurma Bhagwan came. In fact, Kurma Dev was the deity which Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave first to Bhakti Siddhanta to worship while he was child, Bhakti Siddhanta, so that he makes his foundation very strong. And just like Kurma Dev is going to make the foundation of this churning business very strong, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the first deity to Bhakti Siddhanta. Was not Radha Krishna, was not Sitaram, but Kurma Dev, which they found, this is, you know, when they were excavating that place in Jagannath Puri. Right, Jagannath Puri. So Kurma Dev went right down. He lifted the whole mountain. And the mountain came up. And they all were got enthused. They said, Jai, Jai, Jai. Now we can start churning. And Kurma Bhagwan was below. The mountain was on the top. Vasuki was there. The face was with the demons. The tail was with the demigods. Everything was ready. They started churning. And guess what? This is amazing. That the whole thing that Kurma Dev did was he was getting an itch on his back. Many of us, and we get itches, right? And we sometimes get itches in a place which we can't reach. You do like this, you can't reach. right? And it is very irritating if you don't itch. And if somebody itches you, you feel very nice, isn't it? You all experienced this? I've experienced it many times. I tell Prabhuji, thoda karona. because you know, you can't reach it. So Kurma Bhagwan had an itch on his back. And this churning, this huge churning was acting as if somebody is scratching Kurma Bhagwan's back, and he was having a very pleasing. Kurma Bhagwan ki! Yeah. This is the Lord. When he needs to satisfy his itch, he requires the Mandara mountain to be churned on him. What is this Lord all about? How wonderful is this Lord? So they were churning, and while they were churning, see, Krishna does all these things just for his satisfaction, all his leelas, just so that he can be happy. Otherwise, for Krishna to churn the ocean was so easy. He could just do and there will be nectar. He doesn't need to do all this gymnastics the demigods are doing. But he just did it so that there will be wonderful leelas. So that today, on 31st of August 2008, devotees can sit and hear these leelas and become happy. Right? If this were not done, what would you do today? We would have nothing to discuss. But today we are sitting together and discussing about Lord being 8 lakh miles long, and he's satisfying his itch with the Mandara mountain. Wonderful. Krishna does amazing pastimes. So they were churning and churning and churning, and the Lord was down providing a wonderful foundation. Wonderful foundation for the whole process of churning to happen. Churning was happening. And of course, what was happening is, on the top, the mountain was not balanced. You understand what I'm saying? When you're churning, it is in the middle, which is the top was not balanced. So Lord again incarnated, the third incarnation. Incarnated with thousands of hands, and he balanced the top part. He kept the top part in balance so that proper churning would happen. And then he incarnated in the mode of goodness in the demigods, in the mode of passion in the demons, in the mode of ignorance in the Vasuki. So that they all are enlivened and energized. But then recharge batteries. So after they were tired, the Lord again gave them infusion of different modes that they belong to. Demigods were infused with good or goodness, the demons with mode of passion, and the Vasuki with mode of ignorance. And they were churning and churning and churning and churning and churning. And then when churning, Vasuki became tired. You know, after so much of friction, you can imagine. The churning going on. So Vasuki started panting like that. And what happened when Vasuki is a big snake, huge, and all the smoke started coming out from the mouth? And who was at the mouth? The demons. So all the smoke, can you imagine, you are behind a car which is a diesel car, which is an old model. And when it starts the car, boom, poof, the first smoke comes to you. Woo, what do you feel? All the black smoke which goes on your face, you feel suffocated, isn't it? And the demons were going through this situation constantly because Vasuki was... And there was a smoke coming out, and they all became black. They were anyway black, the demons, you know. They like to wear black clothes, but they become more black. And some smoke was also going to the demigods. And they were working hard. You know, churning is not an easy process. How many of you have churned in your life? You have churned churning? Maybe the old people, they've done, none of us have churned. I tried to do churning many years back. In half an hour, you are finished. You are literally, I don't know how Mother Yashoda must be having good biceps and triceps, I'm sure. Because churning is not an easy thing. So they were churning and they were really getting tired. So then all the smoke came to the demigods and they were really getting tired. The smoke was affecting them. They're getting really exhausted. Krishna, again, he incarnated in the form of a beautiful rain cloud. Just on the side of the demigods, not demons. There was a rain cloud, which there was a beautiful, perfect rain, which made them fresh. For those who you know the heat of Bombay, the smoke that you take in Bombay, you go to your bathrooms, you on the shower, you feel so nice, right? There was a perfect rain, and there was perfect breeze which was blowing, which was the droplets of the ocean were covered by the breeze and were touching the bodies of the demigods, and they were feeling refreshed and enlivened by that. Then they're getting more powerful. So this was happening and there was churning going on. And then while this churning is going on, comes the poison. Because before any churning, and before the nectar comes out, came the poison. And the poison was something they didn't expect. You can imagine if you're expecting nectar, and suddenly poison comes out, and the demons and demigods, they stop, and they said, what is this? What do we do with this poison? They ran here and there. And then Krishna, also in the form of Ajita, was there with the demigods. He also ran. And unlike other situations where Krishna personally intervened and helped the demons and demigods, in this case, they all went to Kailash Parvat to meet Lord Shiva. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Krishna wanted to give the complete glory to Lord Shiva to do this wonderful act of drinking the poison, even though he could have done taken care of it himself. But Krishna loves to give the glory to his devotees. So they all went to Lord Shiva and said, oh Lord Shiva, please help us. And then Lord Shiva spoke to his wife, a very wonderful statement. It is said the great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is present in everyone's heart. To voluntarily accept suffering of others as our own suffering is the highest form of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And no wonder, because of that reason alone, our dear Srila Prabhupada is so very dear to Krishna. Because he took voluntarily the suffering of others at the age of 70 to go to America just so that he can deliver the people of the world. So Lord Shiva is saying, this is the best form of worship. To accept the other people's suffering as our own suffering. You see the great souls, Jesus Christ, Haridas Thakur, why are they respected for what they are doing? Because they accepted the suffering of others as their own suffering. So Lord Shiva told that I must do this act, because if I don't do it, everyone will suffer, and let me suffer alone myself, but let others not suffer. Right? Lord Shiva went, he condensed the whole poison into his palm. Can you imagine how concentrated would that be? When you concentrate the whole poison into a small size of the palm of Lord Shiva, and he drank it, and it is his neck became blue. And to this day, it is the ornament of his sacrifice for the devotees, for the world, and is glorified as Nilakantha or Kalakantha. Nilakantha Bhagavan ki! This is the wonderful Leela of Lord Shiva. And after he did that, they again got enlivened, the demigods and demons, the church. They are looking for the nectar. And they were churning and churning and churning. And then came out Surabhi, the celestial cow. And the cow was given to the sages. And they were churning. Then came out Uchishrava, a powerful horse, which was born out of the churning of the milk ocean. And Bali Maharaj said, I want that horse. Because I like good horses. I want that horse. And demons and the demigod said, yes, this is your horse. And then Airavat came, a powerful elephant. And then gods of fortune, Rama. There's a very wonderful form of goddess Lakshmi called Rama. She came. And while the whole journey was going on, she got married to Krishna, Mukunda. Very amazing Leela. Churning is happening. There's a marriage ceremony happening there. Shiva, Brahma and everything, there is a whole marriage ceremony, and Rama puts a garland on Lord Vishnu there. What a wonderful, can you imagine this Leela, this churning going on, people want the poison, somebody has just drunk the poison, churning going on, and Rama and Lord Mukunda is getting married there. Wonderful. So, and then, after churning, they were really working hard, and then came out a very, very effulgent personality, wearing a yellow dhoti, beautiful features, very strong arms, carrying a pot in his hand. And who was that? Lord Dhanvantari. He was carrying, he came up, he was carrying the pot of poison. All poison has gone in my... He was carrying the pot of nectar. So he was carrying up. And then, when he came up, the demons, they thought that they are too smart. And one of demons, he ran and he snatched the pot and started running. Mil gaya, I got it. And then demigods were like, huh? is gone. We worked hard for all this time. And you know, what we want in no matter is gone. And this, they again, they turn to Lord Vishnu. I said, what to do now? This is, we were worked hard. We all know how hard they have worked. Right? They profusely foamed their mouth, as we say, to get this nectar. And it is gone. Lord said, don't worry. I will do the needful. He said, I will create dispute amongst the demons. I'll create a dispute. So they started fighting. I will take first. I will take first. I will take first. Nobody allowed anyone to drink it because they wanted to take it first. This is the competitive mentality of the materialist. When you devotees, they like to share. But demons, they want only for themselves. Right? So demons, they show their mentality that I got it, let me drink it myself. So every demon wanted to drink it first so that he could drink everything for himself. And the Lord created this dispute amongst the demons. And in the bargain, the nectar was intact. There was nobody drank it. And then, of course, they went. And the demons, I forgot to mention, when they saw Goddess Rama, they were so attracted to her form. She was so beautiful. When Krishna comes, they wanted her to be, all demons, they wanted her to be the wife. But she got married to Krishna, to Vishnu. So they just lost her. And then came Mohini Murti. The Lord who came in the form of a most beautiful lady. Most beautiful lady. I remember hearing a lecture, and once Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning this, and he said it in lecture, that please imagine if Krishna, who is all beautiful, comes in a form of a beautiful woman, how beautiful he will look. And then he said, no, please don't imagine. Because, and there was a very interesting question also, some very brilliant student. It's a famous question. He said, Mohini Murti was very attractive, very, very attractive. So some student asked a question. It was a Sunday feast program. I think many of us were there. He said, why don't you install Mohini Murti on your altar? Because she's so attractive, she will attract everybody. And amazing question he asked, and Maharaj was completely amused. Adhikesha Prabhu, right? You remember? He was amused. How can somebody even think like that? So anyway, the Lord came in the form of Mohini Murti. A beautiful, beautiful lady. And she just, you know, when a lady talks something, you know, there's... we have tried this in on the railway stations. You know, railway stations, we are selling Bhagavad Gitas. You know, people like me, very fat and big people. Sir, Gita. Are chhod, nahi jaane. But the same person is returning from his work, and one lady is, excuse me, sir, Prabhuji, Gita. Bolo. And I see it with my own eyes. You guy, you told me no, you insulted me. And here is... You know, our devotee ladies are so sweet and so nice. They say, excuse me, sir, Gita, 18 slok, 18, 18 adhyay, 700 slok, sab, achha, 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 achha. Kitne ka hai? Sir, ek ne do le lo, haan, do. Hey, this guy buys two books. I heard of this particular thing in Dadar stall, the Dadar railway station. We had many stalls on one platform, and I mean on one bridge. And the ladies' stall was doing the maximum book distribution. There was a whole stall of ladies. I think Trivikram Prabhu told me that the ladies' stall was doing maximum book distribution because by nature, everybody likes to hear from ladies. I don't know why. So Krishna is very intelligent, he's very clever. So Mohini Murti came. I said, I will decide. The demigod said, yes, please decide. And here they were fighting, and you know, Krishna's charm, you know, if Krishna would have come, they would have doubted. Okay, you are Vishnu, you know, how can we do? But she came in the form of, Krishna came in the form of a woman. Very beautiful. And of course, the beauty is described. You all can refer. I can't speak here. you all can refer to 8th canto Bhagavatam, right? Mohini Murti section, and you can read the the beauty described by Sukadeva Goswami, you know, is described, and she decided that I will distribute the nectar, and the demigods chup chap, they sat on the side waiting. Yes. Very funny scene. Very funny. This powerful demons, you know, the passionate guys, huge guys, you know, sitting like mouse, waiting for Mohini Murthy to distribute the nectar, and she's dancing, and you know, in a dancing, she's, and you know, she's just enticing all the demons, and demons are looking, ha ha ha, so nice, and one by one, she's freeing the nectar to the demigods, you know, and demons are looking, oh, sometime it'll come to me, but ha ha, so nice, she's dancing. And she completely mesmerized, the right word used, hypnotized the demons completely. And the demons, one demon was not so much mesmerized. He said, something is wrong, boss. Ek lafda ho raha hai idhar. She's dancing, but the nectar is going there. So it was Rahu. Rahu is a smart person. So he slowly, slowly changed. You know, this party badlu thing is happening everywhere. We see here also, everywhere, it is right from the bygone days, changing sides. Where you get benefit, you go there. Whoever is winning. So he changed sides. And then, of course, you know, changing sides, and she was about to put, and you know, the nectar came to some portion, she drank little, and then she realized that is Rahu, cut the head. So of course, this is a beautiful pastime, which goes on very, very beautifully. But what does it really show us? This pastime shows that in order for us to churn our hearts of all the anarthas, all the alahal wish to come out of it, we need the Lord's mercy. We need the Lord's presence every time in our life. And what the Lord loves, or rather, where is the place that the Lord loves to be present? He loves to be present in a humble heart. The Lord can tolerate anything, but he cannot tolerate pride in the hearts of his devotees. He cannot tolerate pride. So, we must understand that if at all we want to purify ourselves and take part in this churning process of the heart, we must not be proud of anything. Many of us, as devotees, we come and we grow up in Krishna consciousness. We become senior devotees after we spend some time in Krishna consciousness. And there's a certain amount of pride that enters in our heart. That people are respecting me. People are listening to me. Like I remember when I was a child, I was so shy. I was so shy that I would, when a phone would ring in my house, I would run away from the phone because I was so scared to pick up a phone and talk to somebody. Because I was so shy and so scared of personality I was. But by the mercy of my spiritual master and the mercy of my senior god brothers and the mercy of the senior devotees, and you learn the art of speaking, and here I am, somehow just sitting here. But if you become proud that I have become so nice, then you are in a very precarious situation. There's a proverb that you cannot be proud of borrowed plumes. Now, you know, I was trying to analyze what is this borrowed plumes all about, and I went down the history, and this was in England. There would be rich lords who would come for the dance, and even poor people would come for the dance in this dance party, and the rich lords would wear on their hat long ostrich feathers called plumes, and they would cost lots. But the poor people would not have the plumes. So they would hire plumes. Bhade pe. You know, they would buy it on hire to wear it. And then they would dance. And next day they would come and they had to give it back. Because it didn't belong to them. It actually was on hire. Right? So this statement came that you should not be proud of your borrowed plumes. Right? Similarly, whatever we have got, the plumes that we have, the opulence that we have in Krishna consciousness is not ours. It has been given by our spiritual master. It is a gift of Krishna to us. But if we become proud of it, then we are in a very precarious situation. We are in a very dangerous situation. If you analyze, Krishna can tolerate anything. He could tolerate the lusty desires of Kubja when she approached him, and Krishna tolerated her and fulfilled her desires. He could tolerate the blasphemy of Shishupal. But even if he tolerated all these things, but he couldn't tolerate the pride, even if the supremest devotees of his, the gopis of Vrindavan. When his own devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan, who were the supermost devotees of Lord Krishna, when they became little proud, Krishna left them also. So Krishna cannot just tolerate pride. He can take anything, but he cannot tolerate pride. So we should be very, very eager to come in situations which make us humble. This reminds me of a story of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarvabhai Thakur. Once Bhaktisiddhanta Sarvabhai Thakur was in Dhaka, giving lectures for 15 days. And there was a heckler. You know what is a heckler? Heckler is a person who interferes in between when a person is speaking and asks some crazy offbeat questions to just drag his attention away from the whole attention of the crowd away and just waste the time of the speaker. Now this heckler was disturbing Bhaktisiddhanta every time he spoke. Every time. And Bhaktisiddhanta was getting really he was not getting angry, but he was answering his questions. But his disciples were getting very angry with this heckler. They wanted to beat him up. But every time they would get up to pick him up and throw him up, Bhaktisiddhanta would say, "Sit down, let him ask." Bhaktisiddhanta would allow this person to ask whatever he wanted. And then after a few days, maybe after a few months, he was in some other place. And then after one morning program, one devotee came running to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarvabhai Thakur and he said, "Gurudev, I have to give a good news to you." And he said, "What is the good news?" He said, "Remember that heckler who was disturbing you? He died today." And all the people around were saying, "Oh, Jai, Jai, very good, very good. He had to die. He deserved this death. You know, he suddenly died." He was a young man, that heckler. Someone who suddenly died. Bhaktisiddhanta, he was shocked. And he said, "You mean he died? He really died?" He said that. And then he sat down and started crying. Bhaktisiddhanta started crying. And when the disciples saw the guru crying, they became serious. They said, "This is serious stuff." And somebody asked him, "Gurudev, why are you crying? This person was troubling you and harassing you every time you would speak." He said, "He was my well-wisher. He was the person who helped me to remain patient and humble. He was my real friend. And now I have lost a real friend." And he was profusely crying. Bhaktisiddhanta saw heckler as a true friend. Why? Because it was a situation for him to remain humble and patient. So many times we devotees, especially in our interaction with other devotees, we come to situations which we feel that this is not right. This devotee is a rascal. This devotee is wrong. This devotee is trying to cheat me out. This devotee is trying to do wrong things with me. But if we are in the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta, if we are praying that Krishna, I want to be your devotee and you like me to be humble. So if you see that situation, this devotee is helping me to remain humble and patient, then an apparent negative situation is converted into a very first class positive situation in our life. It will help us to remain humble. So this is how important it is to remain humble. So we all should understand that by the great mercy of Prabhupada and by the mercy of the current acharyas of our Hare Krishna movement, we have got this wonderful association of devotees. I came across a Chinese proverb, a very nice proverb. If you think deep, it really makes a lot of meaning. The Chinese proverb says that the one generation sows the seeds, the next generation enjoys the shade. One generation sows the seed and the next generation enjoys the shade. Right? It's not that the generation which sows the seed cannot enjoy the shade. Because they are working hard just to sow it. That it takes time for the tree to grow. But by the time the next generation is ready, the tree is ready and gives the shade. Similarly, dear Srila Prabhupada and all the his disciples have done the hard work to sow the seed, and we all, the grand disciples of Prabhupada, are enjoying the shade, the cooling shade. Very cool we are right now. The cooling shade of the Hare Krishna movement in the form of beautiful temples. Now, what is the duty of the next generation? To not cut down the tree. You are not build the tree. The tree was sown by the previous generation. You simply be there, protect the tree, and don't cut down the tree. And what does it mean to cut down the tree? It means to not have the cooperative spirit. If you are not working in cooperation, cooperation comes when there is apparent chances of misunderstanding. Isn't it? If there is no chance of misunderstanding, where is the question of cooperation? If I tell him to do something and he does it, then you know he's cooperating with me. But if he has some other point, I have some other point, and still he does it, then he's cooperating with me. Isn't it? So cooperation comes into picture when there's potential misunderstanding with each other. So similarly, in our situation, we are so many people trying to work together for glorification of the Lord, for glorification of Srila Prabhupada, for glorification of Sri Radha, Gopinath, Lalita, Vishakha. An important ingredient is cooperation. There was tremendous cooperation amongst the demigods, which was not there in the demons. They were all having their ulterior motives. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, in one of his leadership seminars, he says, we all should go back and when in our private moment of our life, when we are alone, write down on a piece of paper that what are the private desires and ambitions in my heart even now while I am a devotee of Hare Krishna movement. The private ambitions. Not the obvious ambitions, but the private ambitions, the private desires, the private aspirations that we all have. And you will see, we all have very dangerous private ambition and desires. We all want to be controllers. We all want to be famous. We all want to be known by everybody. We all want to be glorified and seen as a great person. But that's not what Krishna wants. So we have to really work hard to really be a very, very humble devotee. And I would like to end the presentation with a small story. There was a story of these two people, two friends, who were on the ship, and the ship was completely ransacked, and they were swimming to find some shelter, and they were swimming, and they came to an island. And they came to island and said that now we have nothing, we have no food, no water, nothing to do, no place to stay. Let us pray to the Lord and seek His help. So the two friends said, let us pray separately and see whose prayers are answered. So one friend was on one side of the island, other friend was sitting on the other side of the island. And they were praying, both were praying, and one friend was praying, please, first thing I need is some food. And suddenly he opened his eyes and he was walking far. He saw a tree laden with beautiful succulent fruits. I said, oh my God, the God is answering my prayers. This is wonderful. And he went to the tree, was eating the fruits. And just below, he found a fresh can of Bisleri bottle. No, not Bisleri bottle, of course, but fresh water. And he said, oh, this is wonderful. I have fruits to eat and water to drink. Lord is answering my prayers. And then he said, now I'm filled, everything's fine. I hope I have a wife. Without wife, there's no fun. So he was praying. And then suddenly, one lady comes swimming. And she's also lost. And she comes to the shore. He said, I'm lost. Can you help me? The friend said, oh my God, the Lord is really answering my prayers. I thought I'll just fruit and water is okay. But here is a wife also now. And, they live together. And then they said, I think we should go back. Now we have a wife. Then let's go back to the real place we belong. We can stay peacefully. And surprisingly, a boat appears. He said, I'm really powerful in my prayers. The person was getting really proud and really enthusiastic in his prayers. That I must be really praying very well. The Lord is answering my prayers like this. And then the ship came And both the lady and the man sat in the ship and they were rowing. And the man said, this friend of mine, he doesn't deserve. You know, Lord is answering my prayers. You know, I don't think he really has done anything. He has nothing to have now. He must be in an isolated place. So he was leaving and then the voice spoke from the sky. He said, my dear friend, don't you feel that you should take your friend with you also? He said, what I care, the Lord is answering my prayers. I am a special person. The Lord said, I am sorry, friend, you are mistaken. I have been constantly answering the prayers of your friend. He said, what do you mean? I asked for fruit, I got the food. I asked for water, I got the water. I asked for a wife, I got a wife. I asked for a ship, I got a ship. I said, no. That other friend of yours was constantly praying that please fulfill that friend's prayers. That's why you are getting what you are getting. I was not fulfilling your prayers. I was fulfilling his prayers because I wanted to fulfill his, because he was humble. He was wanting to be para dukes. He was feeling sad by your misery. He was praying that let you get everything that you want. So my dear friends, whatever we are is not by our prayers. But there's somebody sitting there who is praying for us. How can we be proud of somebody who is praying for us? Now we are simply a recipient of somebody's prayers. The prayers of a spiritual master, the prayers of the senior Vaishnavas, the prayers of the supreme benevolent personality in the form of Srila Prabhupada. And of course, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So let us learn this for the example of lesson of humility, the lesson of cooperation, and the lesson of how we should constantly be hearing the wonderful passion of the Lord as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we want to be really rid of the dog-like personality of Maya. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kali Kukura Kadana Yadi Chhaore. If we want to be freed from the dog-like personality. And I was thinking, why does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say dog? I said, because Prabhupada, if you read, people who would call themselves God, Prabhupada said, they are not God, they are dogs. They are dogs who are completely in control of the dog-like personality, Maya. That's why they are dogs. So let us not be, as Tamal Krishna Goswami mentioned, competitors of the Lord, but let us be servants of the Lord. Let us be always fearful of, or rather, sufficiently fearful of Maya, not like a maniac. Maya, 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 Maya. Not like that. Because we should be fearful of Maya, but we have the power of Krishna behind us. Like how Krishna helped profusely the demigods every time they were in despondency. Krishna helps his devotees just like the way he helped Gajendra, just like the way he helped Draupadi when they were in difficulty. So when we pray to Krishna for help, Krishna is always there to help us. Let us pray to Krishna by loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And let us all seriously be in a cooperative spirit. Let us see, as I would repeat this offering of my godbrother Raghupati Prabhu, he spoke that I was not part of the creation of this temple. I am not so much part of the maintenance, but I do not want to be part of the destruction of this temple. So let us all understand that this is the most valuable oasis in the desert of Bombay. Not only Bombay, but desert of the whole world. In my travels to a few places that we have been given service to, we find that how devotees are so inspired just by the word Radha Gopinath temple. It's not that it is our greatness. It's the gift of Srila Prabhupada. And we should be so grateful that we have got this gift of such a wonderful congregation of devotees at Radha Gopinath. Let us all regularly come on Sunday feast, regularly come for the festivals, and in our own homes, in our own ways, help to spread this mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and make our lives perfect and make the life of everybody that we come in contact with perfect. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishaka Sakhi Vrinda ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi.